Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Writer, performer, and musician Robert Burke Warren joins us now to preview an upcoming event at the Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio. RBW, which is what I call him, and a five-piece band will launch the Linda into outer space when they take the stage for the Bowie Bash on June 1st, a celebration of the music of David Bowie, a.k.a. Ziggy Stardust, a.k.a. the Thin White Duke, a.k.a. the best to ever do it. Robert, welcome back. It's great to see you.
Thank you, SLD. It's great to see you. It's really great to see you.
Thanks for having me. Of course.
So
you often do the Bowie Bash around his birthday in January, which is where I saw it this year at the Colony. And it's tremendous. I love it. I've told you that. I'm so excited it's coming to the Linda and I get to see it again. I didn't expect it would happen this calendar year. I just hoped it would happen sometime or that I would follow you around everywhere you played next January. So half a year again, I get to see you perform these songs. How did you start doing the Bowie Bash?
Oh, well, thank you so much for all of that.
Sure.
The whole thing started in 2019, and the Colony in Woodstock. I live in Phoenicia near Woodstock, and Neil, one of the co-proprietors, he and his wife Lex, that's their joint, and he had encouraged me to do. So he learned that I played Buddy Holly in the Buddy Holly story in the West End. And he had encouraged me to do an evening initially of Buddy Holly songs. And I said, do you really think people are going to come? And he said, yes, I do. And he was right. And it was a great night. And he's like, what else you got? And because I did that night all by myself, actually. It was just me and a guitar. And I was playing Buddy Holly songs and talking about Buddy's life. And it was a great night, unexpected kind of in a lot of ways. I got to do things that I don't usually do back from my actor days, and also tell stories. And the Buddy Holly songs, like David Bowie's songs, it's fascinating to me when you can strip a song of all of its accoutrement, you know, all of the accompaniment, and you can break it down to just one voice and one instrument, and sometimes paradoxically it'll have more power if it's a well-written song, if it's a good song, you know. And it's a song that you can play around a campfire, and sometimes there's songs that you can play around a campfire that you would not think would roll, but anyway, so we did that, and then afterwards I got the idea to do a Night of David Bowie, but to do it unplugged. So it started as an unplugged thing with no drums and no electric guitar. And similarly, it was mainly me and a few of my friends, bass player, piano player, some backup vocals, a lot of vocals, but we wanted to do it sort of quietly because Bowie actually, he did the Storyteller series on VH1, but he never jumped on the unplugged bandwagon back in the day. Sadly, I think it would have been great, but so we did that. That's how it began. And we sold the place out. And also people came up to me afterwards, and they still do. And they were like, you know, I didn't realize that that's what the words were to that song.
Well,
because you know,
it's complicated poetry.
It is complicated. A lot of it is, I mean, it runs the gamut from being like, you know, straight up kind of visceral, guttural rock and roll to some very interesting stuff that he was trying to do, you know, in terms of his lyrics and what he was trying to convey lyrically and through his voice. But anyway, it has a lot of power, and I was struck by that. And then we did it again in 2020, and we just kept doing it. And then it grew. You know, we ended up doing it at the City Winery. I added drums and electric guitar so we could do more stuff. And that's how it began. And every year we learn new songs. His canon is jaw-dropping. When you know, there's just so many great songs, and so that's how it began. And I've loved doing it, and I'm really looking forward to doing it at Linda with my band. You know, so that's how it started.
How do you choose from that vast catalog?
Wow.
What songs? I mean, there's the hits. You do a lot of the big songs that people would expect,
right,
to get everybody up and dancing and singing along and feeling the like stardust in the air.
Right.
But how do you choose the other ones?
Wow. Well, you know, a lot of them Actually, yeah, a lot of them, it has to be, I have to love them, first of all. I don't love every, it's just like every artist that I adore, like my top three, I guess, are going to be Leonard Cohen, Prince, Bowie. Ironically, all died in the same year.
2016.
I don't love everything that they did.
No, you can't. They made so much music.
Right. Right.
They probably didn't love everything they did.
Bowie certainly didn't love everything that he did. He would go on record and disavow a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff, he would kind of disavow the Ziggy stuff, which was, which is, I think, to this day, his most popular stuff. But also a lot of stuff he did in the 90s when he had, way too much money. It's like, if such a thing is possible. But anyway, he kind of lost his way, which kind of makes his story more compelling anyway, is that he got everything that he wanted artistically and kind of lost his way and then came back, made his way back, which makes, we were blessed to have him as long as we did. But how do I choose? I have to love it. Some of the late 70s stuff is hard to pull off without a phalanx of synthesizers.
Sure,
Because he was like...
And you don't have a phalanx of
I do not.
Synthesizers.
I don't even have one, And so, he was getting away from songs. He kind of... It's amazing what he did. Everybody wanted Ziggy too, and then they wanted Young Americans too. And he was like, I think I'm going to do something else, something completely different. I'm going to not play guitar and... I'm going to have no guitar on this song. It's going to be... that stuff's kind of hard. But basically, I have to love it, really.
Okay.
I have to love it. It has to move me in some way. I can't really deliver it as a singer unless I... I can, but it's not going to be... I mean, performing is the greatest win-win because if I love it, the people are going to love it. And if I don't love it, I don't think the people are going to love it. I can't fake it that good.
Sure. Tell me about the band and how you know all the folks and the backing singers and how you put them together.
I'm so glad you asked that. As a former sideman myself, back in the day, I was a bass player and sideman. That's how I got started.
Yes, indeed.
It's nice to be asked about the band. And my drummer is Tobias Ralph. He and I both teach at the Woodstock Rock Academy. He's a fantastic drummer and actually lives not too far from here, actually. Lives just over the border in Massachusetts. Bass player is Mark Lerner, who is a dear friend of mine, lives in Kingston, New York with his wife Nancy, who sings, who's one of the vocalists in the group. And the two of them, I've known them since the mid-aughts. And Ann Osmond is another vocalist. And Dennis Yeary is the pianist. And the Bowie show began, the idea was just going to be Dennis and me.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And then we were like, maybe we should get a bass player. Dennis is a long time, he's a musician that's been teaching for a long time, but he's a jazz musician. And it's cool working with Dennis because he didn't really know much about David Bowie from the beginning. But he was interested and we're friends and being a jazz musician, interestingly, Bowie would often work with jazz musicians and I've learned a lot from Dennis in this. I'll be like, what is this? What's that chord, Dennis? I mean, I learned it by ear every now and then, and some of Bowie's stuff, he'll throw in some very sophisticated jazz stuff. So that's Dennis and a new guitar player, Layla Smith, who was a youngster. She's an OG Uncle Rock fan.
Who's now? We should, and for those who don't know, right. Although hopefully everyone in the region does.
Well.
I certainly do. That's how I met you.
Yeah, that's right.
We were Uncle Rocking when I met you. Uncle Rock is a family-based musician persona you have released albums as and performed as for a long, long time. Do you still do Uncle Rock or not anymore?
I do Uncle Rock in the schools.
I don't really,
I go to two preschools a week to teach kids music and to teach kids that music is something that is an active, you can be part of it. A lot of kids today are mostly, when I walk in with a guitar, a lot of times they've never seen a guitar before in real life. And especially since COVID, they're passive. That music is like a passive thing. And so my job with the preschoolers is to teach them that music is something that is part of them, and they're part of the music. So it's kind of this ancient thing of the guy comes in with a guitar and I'm like, guess I'm not going to sing to you, friends. We're going to sing together, which sounds very simple. But and for some kids, they grasp it right away. And for some kids, they're like, wait a minute, what? We're going to sing together? I'm like, yes, we're going to sing together. Let's do it. We're going to make up songs. Did you know that? You know you can make up songs. Anyway, that's Uncle Rock. That's what Uncle... And so Layla, when I think Layla was 3 or 4, I think Layla's in her early 20s now, she's fantastic. She's become... I watched her become a fantastic guitar player from the wings, and she's just really great. And she has a band called Surgeon General, which everyone should check out on the streaming platforms and go and pay money to go see.
Right.
Layla's great. So Layla's going to be playing guitar with us.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you want to share a song now?
Oh, I would love to. What a great idea. How about...
The people stared at the makeup on his face, laughed at his long black hair, his animal grace. The boy in the bright blue jeans jumped up on the stage. Lady Stardust sang his songs of darkness and disgrace, and he was all right. The band was all together, yes, he was all right. The song went on forever, he was awful nice, really quite out of sight, he sang. Femme fatales emerged from shadows to watch this creature fair. Boys stood up on their chairs to make their points of view. I smiled sadly for a love I could not obey. Lady Stardust sang his songs of darkness and disgrace, and he was all right. The band was all together, yes, he was all right. The song went on forever, he was up all night, really quite paradise, he sang all night long. Side. When they asked if I knew his name, yes, he was all right. The band was all together, yes, he was all right. The song went on forever, he was up all night, really quite out of sight, he sang. All night long.
That was fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Of course. So I don't know if in our last couple of minutes here, you can try to put into words what David Bowie means to you. What is it about his music, his life, his influence that you respond to?
Well, I will try. I mean, when Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars is actually the album title.
Yes.
I'm a super fan, so as are you. So. Anyway, that was the first time anyone ever gifted me with an album, was that album.
That's huge.
Yeah, and I think I just started playing, and my friend Todd gave it to me. And so I think I was about 13. And it hit me, and you know, and over the years, it's been a movable feast as I've gone through life, through the various stages of life. You know, there's different aspects of it that have resonated with me, depending on where I'm at in my life. And I feel like a great artist, of any stripe, will—that's what their work will do to you. You know, the wherever you are, their work meets you there and sort of resonates for you in different rooms inside you that open up as you get older, and as you experience everything. You know, in life, joys and losses and change and disappointments and victories and everything. His music, I had no idea. All I knew was that it rocked when I was 13, you know.
Yeah, so no.
I was like, I can grab hold of this. This is super sexy. And, you know, a lot of my friends were queer, and I was hanging out with the theater kids and the new wave queer underground kids, and they were, it was often a matter of life or death, really, how you were going to figure out how to express yourself, how to be true to yourself, while at the same time feel a sense of agency over your feelings and what you were feeling, and also to find something that relieved you of any kind of shame. And his work excels at that, you know, where it's like, you just listen to his music and it'll hit you on a visceral kind of, even on a subconscious level. You won't necessarily know that he's empowering you in certain ways, that the music is, whether it's Ziggy Stardust, Young Americans, the late 70s stuff, you know, even some of the early 80s stuff, which gets maligned a lot. I love that stuff as well. And then just as a performer, the whole package, you know, I feel like he more so than any other artist I can really think of, for me personally, that he really checked so many boxes. Like, if you want just gut bucket rock and roll, got that. You know, if you want to sing about, I don't know, doing the things that teenage boys do,
sure,
you can do that.
Yeah.
Or if you want to get more sophisticated, and you know, go into the shadows and stuff, it gives you an explorer. You know, it gives you a I don't know. The music becomes the work, his work, musically, visually, every bit gives you a vehicle to get inside, and go and feel recognized and safe within the work, and you can take some of that back out into the world. And so he's made me strong as a person, and the work has, and for that I'm forever grateful. And to play his songs, you know, if people are coming to see us, I don't dress like him, you know. People are like, so what are you gonna wear? I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna wear. We're not really a tribute band so much as which is not to malign tribute bands,
right?
I love tribute bands, but anyway, to tap into his music with my friends, all of whom are on the same page. And again, the band runs the gamut from early 20s to late.
Or in life. It's fine. You don't have to
okay.
say.
Okay.
Okay. Who cares? Who
Good
cares?
Life. But anyway,
just a number.
It speaks. thank you for that. It speaks to everyone. And I don't know. That's a long-winded answer.
No, that was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. But and again, when we play, the audiences run the gamut too. It's mostly people in midlife, but not all. There's quite a few kids show up who are like, I was, you know, when I was 13 when I discovered David Bowie. So we welcome everyone, and it's a joy to see everyone. And I hope everyone will, we'll pack the joint, and we can come out, and a lot of sing-alongs, some Bowie stories, a lot of Bowie music, running the gamut of his whole career. We do Space Oddity, his first hit, and we do a couple songs from Black Star, his mm-hmm. last recording. which has probably become my favorite Bowie album.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's an opus. It's you can't, I can't hear a note of it and not sit down and feel mortal and spend time in it. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Are we spoiling the surprise performers or no?
That's your call.
I guess we might as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to announce that our surprise guest, one of our surprise guests, will be none other than Sarah LaDuke.
I'm going to sing a song. You're going to let me sing a song?
I can't wait.
I'm so excited. And I feel like pre-honored, and I hope that I do everybody proud and do it justice. And our the manager of the Linda, Peter Hughes, is also going to pop up there and perform too.
Peter's the reason we're here. Well, you're the reason we're here. And
Bowie's the reason we're here.
You and Peter. So thanks to both of you. But yeah, Peter's going to get up and do some singing as well. And now, this is radio, so people maybe don't know unless they follow you on social media. But Sarah now has the hair. Sarah has this great rock and roll hair.
I got a cool haircut. It took my whole life, and then I got one.
Yeah, we were talking about how a haircut can change your life. It's true.
Robert, it is always such a treat to see you and speak with you. I am so glad we get to see each other again so soon. The Bowie Bash will be at the Linda in Albany, New York on June 1st. No opener, all Bowie. TheLinda.org for ticket information. It's great to see you. Thank you so much.
Great to see you, Sarah. Thank you.
TheLinda.org, the Bowie Bash on June 1st. You're listening to The Roundtable.
I know when to go out. I know when to stay in. Get things.